Good morning. What a beautiful day it is, isn't it? Oh, got up this morning and the sun was shining and I had breath in my lungs and had breath or had life in this body and a voice to praise the Lord with. And I'm always amazed every day at what God paints in the sky and what He paints, you know, on the countryside for us to look at. I don't even know where to begin this morning. My heart is full. I can say that. We came out, we kind of surprised everybody on Friday. Didn't tell nobody we was coming. And I told Janine, says, well, don't you think I'll let, I said, no. I said, let's just show up. And we did. And I hated that we had to leave. We had a furniture truck coming to do a mattress swap. But I just wanted to tell you what a blessing and what a joy Friday was for us. I got to finally meet Patty, and we got to have a good talk on Friday and shared about how wonderful her mom is and how sweet she is. And I amen all that for sure, because... And I'm not going to just dote on Effie only, because she's got a good heart. She's a wonderful lady, but there's everybody else in here is so good too, and such a blessing. But I think what really moved me was seeing the dedication, because when you walk in here and see everything that's laid out and priced and organized, hey, thank you for giving to the Lord. Because what you have done is you've not done it for yourself. You've done it for God. And the smiles and the people who came through here that I got to talk to and minister to and just have a good fellowship, and to see the smiles and Janine come out. Now, I think Janine had the best time, because from what I understand, wherever she went, people just said, go ahead and grab all you want and just take it out. We'll talk about that. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm telling you what, we left, and I'm not going to say what we did after that, but we got the chance to go and pray and minister after we left here. And I tell you what, that was the best day ever. I thought last Saturday was really good, what happened to us in Evansville. Friday was a blessing. And we talked about it all the way home. And I just wanted to let you know there is so much love here. And it shows. It showed on the faces of the people who came up here. And people... You know, I invited them to come to church, and I go to Myrdale or I go to Grant. I said, it doesn't matter. We just come anyway. You know, your name may be somewhere else, but you know what? You can still come and visit with us. It's all right. And when we got home, Janine and I continued to talk about it, and the more we talked about it, she said, "Isn't it great when people just can get together like that and you just see the Lord move?" And I said, yes. So this sermon, of course, I gave, I think, was it Thursday night? I said, okay. So again, Thursday night, I had this sermon finally ready. I sent it to Laura. And I'm like, it's amazing how this sermon is called Soul Food. And I'm not talking about earthly food. Boy, I wish I would. Milton, I could get into some good food here, buddy. Talk about some good stuff here. But it's neat how the sermon ties into what happened on Friday and what God's doing in our life every day. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8. And I would like to ask if you're able to stand as I read from God's Word. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 8. Actually, I'll start in verse 7. verses 7 and 8. Two things I ask of you, don't deny them to me before I die. Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. Give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your powerful and mighty word. The word that changes our lives and changes our hearts. And God, I pray today that your word would penetrate us deeply. And I pray, God, that you will root out, you know, bitterness or self or selfish desires or anything of the flesh. And Lord, let the Spirit come alive inside of us in a mighty way today. And Father, let us seek Jesus in all things, Lord. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you, dear God. Don't let anything come from my flesh or my own thoughts or words. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, I hope I don't make none of you hungry this morning by what I'm about to talk about here for a few minutes, but you know that with the physical body, you know that when the physical body gets hungry or when it gets thirsty, you know that it needs to be replenished. And you know that there's all kinds of good food out there to do that with, don't you? Now, you know, when you've been doing a lot, if you've been working hard during the day, and I tell you what, these ladies have worked hard. And I'm sure they got tired, and I'm sure they got hungry, and they needed that rest, and they needed to refuel the body. And you know, it's funny that when we get in these moments, we get to desiring something so bad, we go after it, don't we? How many of you have ever been just so starved hungry, you went to a church fellowship, you couldn't wait for the message to be over because you could smell all the good smells coming up from the basement, and you're thinking, boy, I hope that preacher ain't long-winded today because my stomach sure is growling, and I would like to get that, and I'd like to be one of the first five people in line so I could satisfy the craving that's going on inside my body. I've been there. There's been multiple times I've been guilty of cutting the sermon short so I could get down to the food line. Yes, I confess it. So it's there, it's out. But when we get into that food line, and there's always good food to eat, there's a variety of things we can choose from. And you know, some of the times when I've gotten in the line, I see fried chicken, I see mashed potatoes. Now, this is coming from a Southern boy when I was growing up in the South. And especially go back home to Alabama. Oh, my goodness. And you would see fried okra. And you would see biscuits and gravy and cornbread and hot butter and corn and peas and black-eyed peas. And there'd be watermelon and cake and all the good stuff. And you can tell me to stop anytime you want. But I'm going to keep... And when you start to indulge and you pick up these things and you start to eat them and you feed the physical body and you're taking in these good foods, what happens to you after a little while? Well, after you've sat and eaten and that food's had a chance to, if you haven't overdone it, that food gets a chance to get in the body and you start to feel good. You start to feel like you've had a second wind. And boy, you feel like, man, I could go again. I got all this energy. That's because you've chosen to put something good into the physical body. But that's not what I want to concentrate on today. I want to concentrate on soul food. And I'm talking about the soul or the spirit man that lives within us. Because the spirit man has to be fed properly in order for us to live and continue on in life every day. Now, just as you would work the physical body and it gets tired, you can also get tired in the spirit, because many times in his ministry, Jesus himself always said, "I am tired," and he needed rest as well. So we've got to keep the Spirit fed to keep the Spirit strong. Because if you let the physical body get weak and you try to work and you try to push on, guess what's going to happen? You're just going to fall over and you're not going to feel very good. Sometimes I've gotten pretty sick. Somebody come along to me, we'd be working baling hay, loading up the wagons, and somebody come along and say, "Hey, you better stop, take a break." "Oh no, I feel good, man. I'm going to keep going." And boy, we'd stack that hay, and I, after a little while, I'd get famished, and I would get to a point where I would get sick and wore out, and I'd finally sit down and go, "Man, I can't hardly go on no more." And in the same way, in the Christian life, we can continue to press on and we can push forward, but if we bypass what we're needing, we're going to get to a point where we're going to fail in our life. And we're going to say, something's going to happen or something's going to come along to us. And we're going to say, "Man, I feel so tired. I feel so beat down. I feel so weary in my heart and in my soul. And I don't know if I can keep going on anymore like this. What has happened to me?" Well, I want you to know this morning that Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus is to be our focal point of our life. Without Jesus, you can't make it. Now, I want to tell you this. You can pray and you can serve in the church. You can teach Sunday school. You can do whatever. You can go witness to people. But if Jesus is not the center of your life, if you're not partaking of the bread of life, you're not going to make it. There's no other way around it. We can try to find other means and methods, but Jesus is the only way. In John chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven." That was manna. Because I want to pause a moment. If you remember back in the Old Testament, what did God feed the Israelites with? He fed them with manna from heaven. You remember many times they were hungry and manna would fall from heaven and God would feed them. And if that came from God, you knew it was going to be exactly what they needed to feed the physical body. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now, Jesus is talking about Himself here. Jesus is talking about Himself. The Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. See, Jesus is life. Jesus is the one who satisfies my soul. Jesus is the one who gives me strength. Jesus is the one who gives me guidance. Jesus is the foundation of my life. And if I miss just a little bit of time with Him, I don't know about you, but it throws my day way off. And I'll tell you about that. Now, yesterday, we got in a hurry, and we got up and got ready. We had to get to Paducah, and we had a schedule of things to do. Well, I didn't get into the Word like I should have. I prayed a little prayer, and out the door we went. Lord, bless us today. Keep us safe. And on the road, we're on the road again. You know, it's. And we got down to Paducah, and the Lord blessed our day and everything. But as we were heading home, I felt discouraged because I started to think, I put all this other stuff in front of the Lord today. I gave my desires more attention than I gave the Lord this morning. And I started feeling discouraged about it. So when we got home, I had to pray. And I had to get things right with the Lord. And I made sure last night when we got home, I got the Bible out And we did our Bible reading. And we had our prayer time last night. And after having that time with Jesus, just soaking Him in, it was just like going to a church buffet. I started to feel good again. I started to feel energized. I started to feel my heart perk back up. I felt the joy of the Lord coming back over me. Because when we choose to feed our soul with Jesus, we can continue on. And I want to tell you this morning. If you feel like you're getting to a place in your day where you're getting weak, that's when you need to stop. Because you know what? It's okay to say, I'm having a rough moment. I need prayer. Because you know what? One of the greatest things in this world that we can do, and I say this, that preachers ought to be seeking it too from people. Preachers should never ever think that because they're in the pulpit that they've got a one-on-one connection with God. I'm the same as anybody else. And I've got to know that if I push myself too far or if there's something going on, I should know that I ought to connect with members in the church, and I need to say, look, I could use some prayer today. I'm going through a rough patch. Would you please? And they don't have to pray for me right then and there on the phone or whatever or through a text message. But all I would have to do is say, could you please say a prayer for me? Or if somebody else is going through a difficult patch, text me and text some others and say, look, this is what's going on in my life today. I would appreciate it if you could pray for me. Because you know what I'll do? I will stop exactly what I'm doing and I will go to prayer. I will go to war for you. I will go to fight with you and I will take your prayer request before the Lord and I will hold you up in prayer. Because number one, I love you as Jesus loves you. And number two, I don't like to see anybody going through a rough and a difficult time because it makes my heart hurt just the same as that person, what they're going through. But when Jesus said that God gives us the true bread from heaven, I mean, Jesus, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus left the glory of heaven to come and dwell with man. The one who was immortal became mortal for you and I, left the glories of heaven, didn't have to, but He did anyway because of His love for you and I. And the greatest thing of all, when Jesus came to this earth, He had to face crucifixion. And excuse me, got a little bit of a frog. But we know that Jesus was about to face something pretty serious. Because when Jesus was in the garden praying before His arrest, He was so consumed with a great grief that He was sweating drops of blood. That's the turmoil He was in. And Jesus said to the Father in prayer, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But then notice what Jesus said after that. Not my will be done, but Thy will be done, because Jesus wanted to please the Father. And that's what we should do with our life. We should be pleasing the Father by having Jesus in our heart and life. That's God's desire. God's desire is that every person would come to Him and accept Jesus Christ and have their name added to the Lamb's Book of Life. And of course, as you all know and I know, there's a lot of people who don't do that. There's a lot of people who die without Jesus. And now They are eternally separated from God. And you know, something about that should spark a fire within us to take the bread from heaven, the bread of life, and we should take that and we should share it with others that are hungry. You know, people that are lost, that don't know Jesus, do you know what their problem is? They need satisfied within their heart and in their soul. And the only way that they're going to get it is by what we share with them and what we share in love. Now, I tell you something that, boy, now this got my gears going Friday. I was down there in the kitchen talking with Terry, and Lee was down there. And Effie come right to the window, and she said the magic golden words at my ears. She said, "There's fresh coffee cake. I made it yesterday. It's in that pan." Well, hey, she brought some form of bread, and I'm telling you what, it was good. And it was physically satisfying. It was delicious. And Janine said, "Is there coffee cake in there? I want some too." So I cut her a smaller piece. No, I'm kidding. I cut her a little bigger piece. And gave it to her, and she said, "Oh my, this is delicious." And I said, "It is. It's so moist." So something so physical brought us so much, really contentment. Really, made us happy, basically, in the physical side of eating something. But imagine when we take the bread of life, when we take the love of Jesus and we share it with others, and we don't want to give them just a little bit. We need to give them all of Jesus. Because when we give them all of Jesus and people start to feed off of that, it brings a satisfaction and it covers a lot of desire that nothing in this world could ever offer. Nothing in this world could satisfy it. But everything about Jesus brings pure contentment and pure delight to the heart and the soul. And when we give of that bread and we've witnessed to somebody, when we've prayed for somebody, when we've hugged somebody, when we've had fellowship, whatever it might be, whether you cook a meal, whether you make an article of clothing like what are those things called, the ladies, afghans. Ladies used to make afghans, baby blankets. Whatever it is you do and you give to people, give it and do it with love. And like we were giving love to folks that come through here the last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the love that you give, it has a long-lasting impact. We may not see it at that moment, but it changes hearts and lives. And even in his ministry, and the greatest one that I could, well, there are so many great miracles that Jesus did, but the 10 lepers. When Jesus was met by 10 lepers, he cleansed them. And as they walked away, or as they ran away from Jesus, they were made whole and clean. But guess what? Only one come running back. Only one of the 10 was thankful and come running back to thank Jesus. How many times are we thankful for what the Lord has done even in our life? Do we run back to Jesus and say, "Thank you, Father, for what you've given me today"? Now, when I pull up in the parking lot this morning, I just said, "You know what, Lord? Thank you that I'm here today. I'm going to go in and worship, and I expect to receive from you, because I'm going to give all I've got to you. And I'm going to walk out of there today joyful. I'm expecting great things, Lord." So, we have to feed our souls with Jesus. And then feed your soul the bread of life. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm going to read that real quick. "Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the Word, so that you may grow up into your salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to Him a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God. You know, when you first became a Christian, do you know that you weren't able to go out and conquer the world right off the bat? And you know why that is? Because we have to learn God's Word. We've got to take the milk of the Word as, because we're new babes in Christ. Now, when you have a newborn baby, you're not going to take that baby home and feed him a T-bone steak and a baked potato, you know, with a side of asparagus or something like that. You're not going to feed that baby whole food because, number one, he ain't got the teeth to chew it, to process it, and he sure can't swallow it, and his little body couldn't handle it. See, God designed the body to be nourished from a baby, and as you grow up and you take on a little bit more each time, well, in the same way as a newborn baby in Christ, we get little bits of the Word, we get the milk of the Word, and when God sees that we are growing strong in our walk with Him, you know what God's going to do? God's going to give us more. And the more that we get, the more we desire and we want to get into that Word and we want to read it and take it in. Because I'm telling you what, there's a lot of things you could read or watch on TV, but they ain't nothing compared to the Word of God. And spending time with Him in prayer, there is no greater fellowship. I was thinking about this a few weeks back when I was holding my grandson. Grandson, he's 8 months old. Looks like he's 3 foot tall already. The kid's growing like a weed. But, you know, as I was holding him, I saw his little teeth coming in, and I thought, well, I wonder what this boy could eat right about now. And, well, so we experimented with a little solid food and, you know, crushed it up real good and gave it to him. And you know what that kid did? He was like, mmm. You know, he, boy, had this look on his face, and he was going like this with his hands. He wanted that spoon. So got a little more food on the edge of that spoon, put it into his mouth, and boy, he'd grab your hand and put that spoon in there, and he'd take that food off of there, and he would just make noise, and I'm thinking, wow. And as I thought back on that and think about our Christian life, the more we get into God's Word, the excitement we get, and we should be like the baby. We should be saying, give me some more. I can't get enough of it. I mean, when I have cornbread and butter and milk, honey, I tell you, I can't get enough of it until I get so sick I can't eat no more. But boy, when I start eating cornbread and butter and milk, man, I get to eating and I want more and it's good. And then my stomach says, all right, stop, before I reverse gears. But it's not that way with God's Word. We can continue to crave it and take it in, and it continues to satisfy. And the more that I grow in Christ, I see my life transformed. But even greater than that, I love to see people that I've had a chance to witness to, or maybe somebody the church has prayed for, hearing prayers have been answered. But whatever it is, keep taking in from God's Word. And what that's called is desire. There's a lot of things in this world that we desire, but our desire for God should be first place and first priority. God should be our first love. We should love God more than we love anybody else. Did you know that? Did you know that it's a sin to love people more than you love God? It is. And I've told my wife this. I love God way more than I'll ever love you. And I said, I'm not being mean by saying that, but that's the truth. He gave His Son, and His Son went to the cross for me and died and rose again and put my name and blood in the Lamb's Book of Life, that when I leave this world, I'm going straight. I'm going to go shouting. I don't know about you. I hope I go shouting. I hope we can shout They're going to hear me for miles around the world shouting when I go out. Because the desire that's in my heart, the desire to please the Father, Jesus wanted to please Him. So as a child of God, I need to have that same desire to please the Father. And I know there's things I do at times that don't please Him, but I'm so thankful for the mercy and the grace and His forgiveness, His perfect love. See that the blood that was shed on the cross is our redemption. You know how God sees us? God sees us through the shed blood of Jesus. God sees us redeemed. God sees His children as cleansed, as pure and whole. That's how the Father sees us. When Jesus took and His blood was poured out upon the mercy seat, and now we've got this new blood covenant we're under, isn't it great? We don't live under the old law anymore, but we live under this blood covenant. Mercy. And we should desire it. Lastly, don't poison your soul. There's a bee. You stay over there and we're fine. I'm allergic to them, by the way. But I'm not going to leave this pulpit either. Don't poison your soul. The things you watch on TV, what you listen to on the radio, who you hang out with and what you talk about and discuss, things like that can poison your soul. Remember that song you used to sing in church? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Wasn't there a verse about, oh, little mouth, what? Be careful what you say? I can't remember now. It's something like that. Yeah, Lord, so I'm on the right track. Good. Yeah, and hands, what you do. Be careful what you do. Because we can say, well, I'm a Christian now. I can go hang out with my old buddies a little bit now and then, and you know, I'll rub off on them. They'll get saved. We can try to reason things like that. But you know what happens? You know who's guilty of that? Right here. I got saved, and it wasn't long after. Man, I got to missing hanging out with my buddies up there on the parking lot. I was 19 years old, and I did. I got to missing hanging out with my buddies on the parking lot, my rodeo buddies. And boy, there's a foul-mouthed bunch of cowboys you ever saw. And I went up there one night thinking, yeah, I'll be a witness is what I'll do. I'll hang out with them, and they're going to get saved. They're going to see me change life. I went up there, and it wasn't probably 10 minutes. And it's almost like I put the same rags back on that I'd worn before. And I was doing the exact same thing that they were doing. You know what I had to do? Make the decision to separate myself from that life. Everything that we do in the world, it can stain you. And it can weigh you down. And it can bring ugliness and defeat into your life. It really can. That's why we need to surround ourselves daily with the Word. That's why we need to hem our day in prayer so we don't come unraveled. That's why we need fellowship. And I tell you what, now I have to work Thursday and Friday, but you know what? I'll be here Saturday. And I'm looking forward to having a good time Saturday. And then when we go to clean up, we're going to have a good time of fellowship cleaning up. And I'm hoping and praying that we get the chance to witness to a lot of folks on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I hope that we get to lead somebody to the Lord. That's my hope and my desire. And I'm looking forward to it.